Hello, everyone, and welcome to yet another Golf Shake podcast. Apologies that we were away last week, but I was a few thousand miles away in Turkey. So, and with the time difference, it just didn't work out between me and Matt. So, yeah, there we are. But we're back. We've got lots to talk about. Lots has happened in the world of golf, particularly over this past weekend. We've got tons to shout about. We've had golf from the DP World Tour, the PGA Tour, LIV, and the LET as well to bring you, as well as looking ahead to this week's tournament. So without further ado, let me introduce my co-host, Mr. Matt Holbrook. How the heck are you, Matt?
I'm very good, actually. Very good. You?
Yeah. I feel like my feet haven't touched the ground yet, but very busy. So got back late Friday night. 10 o'clock Friday night, and was in work at 6 o'clock on Saturday morning. So,
you're a little Trojan, aren't you?
Yeah.
A little Trojan.
Busy boy. Yeah, a lot going on. Great week in Turkey, which we'll talk about a little bit later on. But yeah, nice to play some golf in the sunshine. What have you been up to then, mate?
Well, I played golf Friday and Saturday. Not so much joy yesterday, Sunday, because the course was closed. Because it rained again, but Saturday was a beautiful day. Felt like spring had sprung and it was starting to get dry out there. So Friday I played at Felixstowe, which is just perfect at the minute. And then Saturday I played at the Stowmarket. And that was actually the first 18 holes that I played at Stowmarket since the end of January because of all the weather and it being closed on the weekends and stuff.
We had loads of rain yesterday, but we haven't been shut. And today, same, been open and stuff. So,
But to be honest, like I'm doing a lot of planning now for the main bulk of the season. I've entered all the comps. I had another one pop up the other day. I don't know if you saw it on my Instagram, a little 36-hole open at West Lancs.
Of course not. But West Lancs is very nice.
Well, yeah. I just need to find out. I'll find out Sunday this week if I've got in, because there will be a ballot for handicaps.
Have you played West Lancs before?
No, I haven't. So it's one that's been on my bucket list for quite a while. And I'll be honest, like the value for money on some of these opens that I try to go into is just incredible.
Amazing. Huh?
I think on that the Saturday, it's a Sunday, which is strange for an open, but if you was to go and play there on the Saturday, I think it's like £190 for a green fee, and 36 holes for £60. Not going to say no to that.
Fair play.
So, yeah. So now we just wait. As I say, the cutoff was 4.4. And I think there's 72 spots. So,
cool.
Everybody keep everything crossed for me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's literally, I think we just, it's just talking today. We've got, 20 days until the clocks go forward. 2 weeks tomorrow is the last winter four balls at Felixstowe, which I know people like listening to me go on about. And then literally 3 weeks is my first spring open. So it's not far away.
No, it seems quite early that. I mean, hopefully you get a course that's fairly dry to play it on.
Yeah, it's Thetford, this one. So it's like a heathland. It's a good one. So we actually this year are going to have a reciprocal at Stowmarket where we can go and play there in the winter and they can come and play at ours in the summer.
Okay, cool.
Because I think it's on protected land, Thetford. They can't water it, so it gets really dry and dusty in the summer.
Right, okay.
So that'll be, that's one that I played in last year, so I'm looking forward to that.
So you've got tons of golf on the horizon.
Lots coming up.
I think I've played all mine now until any decent weather comes, so we'll see. But
it will come.
Yeah, I mean, like we said at the start of the show, I mean, we've got loads to talk about, not just what we've been doing, but also kind of some of the stuff we've been doing for the YouTube channel, which we'll talk to you about a little bit later. Obviously, the new season of Full Swing came out last week, so we'll have a bit of a chat about that as well. I have watched some of it while I was in Turkey, but not loads, probably, I think, first three. But yeah,
I've this binged week... it.
Pardon?
I've binged it.
Have you?
Yeah.
Fine, mate. I ain't got as much free time as you. So,
well, I made sure I had some free time that day. So, I'll talk to you about that in a minute.
Yeah, but we've had lots and lots going on in golf. So the PGA Tour yesterday, great finish. Scottie Scheffler winning. Finally learning how to putt, which I don't think he was ever too far away from, in truth. But, just showing how good he is. 5-shot victory there at the Arnold Palmer Invitational, which, again, is a very huge, prestigious marquee event on the PGA Tour schedule, and one that every player kind of wishes that they could win there. And Jack's Place are the kind of two, other than the players, I think, and the majors that they play, that they really want to win. I don't know if you watch much of this, Matt, but I caught up with a lot of it today and just thought he just looked very, very impressive.
It was very good, actually. Very good. And I think he came out and said he's not always been a bad putter. And I think it's quite ominous for everybody else if he starts.
I mean, when he won the Masters, he literally looked like he couldn't miss. So
I know. Yeah. But stupid he changed the putter. He listened to Rory, didn't he? Put the mallet in and there you go.
Yep. I must admit, I've been using that same putter for a while and it's very, very nice. But yeah, I think it's obviously a change of mindset as well. I think the forgiveness you get with that mallet, and you don't have to be as perfect. I think he's kind of, you know, from listening to some of the interviews with him, kind of tried not to put too much pressure on himself. If he does just miss a putt, it's fine. It's just a putt and just hold the next one. And yeah, with a lot of things in golf, there's a lot of mental kind of frailty that gets exposed, I suppose, when things aren't going very well. So yeah, I mean, Scottie Scheffler is an amazing player. He's not going to go anywhere anytime soon because he's that good from tee to green that he's always going to contend. And I think I saw a stat, I think it was on Sky actually, where they'd said that if he'd have putted like that, basically the same level that he'd put it this week, if he'd have put it like that all last season, he'd have won 10 more events, which is ridiculous. So yeah, he's obviously in very good form and coming into the kind of start of the season where we've got the first major around the corner, one that he's already won before. He's obviously a man that's gonna be coming in hot. He obviously won from Wyndham Clark. Wyndham had played very nicely as well. Again, someone when we get chatting about Full Swing that they featured quite heavily in the first episodes that I've watched. But again, another great golfer and someone who looks like, you know, when he's in the mood, he could win quite big as well. Zalatoris finished quite nicely. One I'm a little bit disappointed in is Shane Lowry. Last 2 weeks, he's been up there, had a chance to win and kind of just fallen away on the final day. But I'm sure someone as good as Shane, it's not going to be far, not going to be long, sorry, before he puts four rounds together and wins. But yeah, really good.
I was really interested in what he said, though, afterwards. He said that there's only three or four players that can contend with Scottie Scheffler and he's not one of them. I'm not sure. I mean, that's, yeah, realistic, but I'm not sure about that kind of elite mindset that,
yeah,
you know, you ask Rory McIlroy when he's on, he'll tell you that he can beat anybody.
Well, yeah, and he's one of the people he's probably talking about. But
yeah,
I see what you're saying. I mean, the level of ball striking and the consistency that Scheffler has, there aren't many people that can live with him when he's playing well, and Rory would be one, probably Rahm another, and I'm struggling to think other than that who could give him a run for his money, really. He's just so consistent, isn't he? And just someone who, yeah, just flushes it. And, yeah, if he's on and putting well, you've got a handful, haven't you, really? You've got a struggle on your hands. But yeah, I think, you know, Rory's obviously not finished particularly well yesterday either, which he'll be fairly disappointed about, but I'm sure he doesn't care where he finishes in any of these tournaments. He's just looking at the Masters, really, and that's his kind of tournament that he's trying to peak for, and we all hope that he does, I think. But yeah, I mean, there aren't many people that can keep up with Scottie Scheffler when he's playing like that.
No, he's a joy to watch. Really,
he is. Yeah, I mean, he's, for me, he's one of the most boring people to to watch and to listen to, but my God, what a golfer he is. Yeah.
Well, you say that, but you know, I saw a side to him, funnily enough, not to jump ahead to Full Swing, but did you see, I think it was one of the first episodes, have you watched the episode with Tom Kim?
No, that's the one that's just coming on when I finish watching.
Okay. So it was a really nice episode, actually, about Tom Kim. I won't give away too many spoilers, but Scottie Scheffler, just outrageous banter with him at the Masters.
Okay, fair
enough. That's all I'm going to say. I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but yeah, really, actually, it was quite funny coming from someone as boring as Scottie Scheffler.
But I was going to say, I don't think I've ever heard him be funny. So yeah, that'd be quite good. On the other side of the world, the DP World Tour was in South Africa this week, and a first win in 11 years for a very, very popular guy, Matteo Manassero. And the way he did it was pretty damn impressive as well. Did he birdie the last four holes, was it?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
And the last two were pretty much in the dark, which just looked unbelievable. I don't even know how they let them carry on playing. So Thurston Lawrence, Sean Norris, Jordan Smith all bringing up the rear there, really. 26 under par he was, which doesn't matter what golf course you're playing, that is absolutely out of this world. And seeing him return to the winner's circle will be something that a lot of people will be very, very happy about. And he's still got a lot of time on his side. He's still, I think, only like 30 years old. Something crazy.
Yeah. I think you forget because he's been away for so long, or it feels like he's been away for so long. You forget how young he was when he first burst onto the scene and picked up his wins.
Absolutely. And, you know, he went from winning the British Amateur? He won at like 16, something ridiculous like that. But yeah, he's very, very impressive and just great to watch. I mean, he's one of those players that, again, going back to Scheffler, he's one that struggled on the greens a little bit and seems to have found a way of putting that is going to work for him. And certainly, you know, who knows in the future, is he someone who's going to just take off from here and all of a sudden be, you know, a Ryder Cup player and someone who's up there on the DP World Tour every week. I don't know. I hope so, because he's that sort of character that you want to see a lot of. I think he, like a lot of people, his kind of size and stature, he's kind of chased a bit of distance and a bit of speed, hasn't he? And it's kind of meant that he's lost his golf swing a little bit, and he seems to have found it definitely now, and winning on the Challenge Tour last year and now backing that up with another DP World Tour win this year. You know, it's amazing. Really, really good to see. Liv was on again this week. I don't know if you saw this. I know for a fact you won't have done, but there was a three-way playoff at the top. Abraham Anser, Paul Casey and Cameron Smith all tying on 13 under par. Abraham Anser came out on top in the playoff there. And again, another great event over in Hong Kong. But the kind of talk of the tournament was Anthony Kim has obviously played. This is his second event now. So the sixth round, and he shot 5 under par in his final round there. Which I think was the joint best round of the day, which shows that he's still got some game in there somewhere.
So the event before, when it was his first one back, obviously there was a lot of talk about him. And naturally he didn't play very well, which I don't think anyone really expected him to go out and rip it up.
No, I don't think he did.
It's definitely the closest I've come to wanting to watch some live golf. So I think from a PR perspective, really good move from Liv getting him back in and getting him on a golf course. But almost then, for me, was it a bit of an anticlimax with him being of such interest to people and him not doing that great? But yeah, so, you know, he's obviously still got a bit of game. But he's aged very, very badly, hasn't he? Clearly someone that's been enjoying himself.
Yeah, I think he's had a great time. I don't
blame like it.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I think personally, just watching him play, it's good. He's still, the swing looks very, very similar. He's still quite a kind of fiery sort of character by the look of him as well. So yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing him for the rest of the season and see what he could do, you know, in 2 events in 11 years, and to be shooting a 65 in the last round is pretty impressive. I don't care who you are, Yeah, who knows? I mean, I think the next event is in Miami in April. I think it is the week before the Masters, potentially. So, yeah, it'd be good to see what happens there. And then everyone obviously making the short drive. Well, not a short drive, but it, in USA terms, a fairly short drive north to Augusta from there. It's probably about 9 hours in the car. I doubt they'll be driving, Matt. They'll all be flying. But
sure.
But yeah, it'll be good to see how these guys perform in the wake of the Masters. Obviously, the likes of the players that are already exempt, the Rahms and Patrick Reed's DJs of this world that are going to be playing anyway. Obviously, Joaquin Niemann has got an invite. Schwartzel obviously has got an invite. So there'll be plenty of live guys there. As there should be. So yeah, we'll have a look at that. So the LET Aramco Series as well was on this week. So Alexandra Fosterling won there, which is I think she's won in her last 10 starts, something like four times, which is pretty impressive. Charlie Hull finishing second again. Charlie, when are you going to get over the line? I don't know. But again, she looks to be playing fantastic golf, and Bronte Law in there as well in third. So She's kind of got that resurgence going on, winning on the LET the other week and now finishing third over there. So, yeah, all good. Look, British golf or English golf, should I say, with those two looking pretty promising. And like I say, Fosterling winning there, kind of cementing her place in the women's game and looking really, really good. So this week we've got the Porsche Singapore Classic on the DP World Tour, which a lot of people, I don't think it's going to be the strongest field in the world. I think a few people kind of missed that one. And the Valspar on the PGA Tour, which tends to be one that gets quite a lot of coverage. Like I say, no live event till the first week of April. So we've got, 2-3 weeks off now, those guys.
Hang on, have you got that right? It's the players this week.
Oh, sorry, it is, yeah. Valspar's after that. Yeah, Players Championship, which would be yeah, massive. Yeah, absolutely huge. So yeah, sorry, I've skipped a week, guys. I've gone into the future. But yeah, the players, obviously an event that is gonna the who's who of golf, really. Other than the guys that are on live, obviously. But, yeah, I mean, you'd be hard-pushed not to put some money on Scheffler, having won it last year and playing so well. But, you know, you've still got to look at the Rorys of this world who's playing very, very nicely.
Just looking at them. They've released the...
hasn't really clicked into gear, has he?
So, no. No, but I'll tell you who I was super impressed with this week. Wills Alatoris.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, we obviously mentioned him before and where he finished, but yeah, very, very good. Again, a bit of a resurgence for him after that injury and playing so well in the majors a couple of years ago. Be good to see him get up there and contend. Again, he's another person who's got a bit of a question mark when it comes to putting, isn't he? So,
yeah.
Yeah,
just looking at the tee times that have been released, you've got Hovland, Rory, and Spieth together.
Okay.
You've got Sam Burns, Schauffele, and Tommy Fleetwood.
Fleetwood's someone this year I think could do something. I don't know what event it's going to be, but I've just got a feeling about him that he's gonna win something big.
Tony Finau, Wills Alatoris, and Shane Lowry's another one that jumps out at me. Yeah, and the big ones, Scheffler, Fowler, and Justin Thomas.
I mean, Lowry is someone that could go well around there, and he seems to be in very good form, doesn't he? So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, I mean, the players is an awesome tournament to watch, isn't it?
It certainly is. It certainly is. I'm actually looking forward to watching as much of that as possible this week.
Yeah, yeah, it'll be good. But yeah, I mean, that's what's going on in professional golf. Let's have a bit of a chat more about kind of, what we've been up to in the last couple of weeks. Full Swing, let's start with Full Swing. So that's obviously come out in the last couple of days. You've clearly watched most of it.
All of it.
Okay, sorry. I've watched the first three, which I think focused on, I think it was certainly Ricky Fowler, the last episode. There was quite a lot on Wyndham Clark. Damon was the third episode, which I thought it was a little bit sad, actually. Because
I was just about to say, I was just literally pulling up some tweets, because I don't tweet much anymore. But I watched... X, whatever. So the Joel Damon episode... So firstly, actually, Ricky Fowler comes across as an impeccable human being.
Yeah, awesome guy, yeah. He just seems like the loveliest chap ever.
And I think...
Someone else doesn't at all, which I'm going to come on to in a minute, but...
Yeah, I quote, all I'm saying is that the world needs more people like Ricky Fowler. And then Joel Damon and his caddy on the plane.
You know.
Literally had tears in my eyes. I did. And there's obviously someone that struggled with his game since the first. He came out of the first series, didn't he? Looking really, really good. Obviously, got loads and loads of fans, and now he's almost feels like he's under extra pressure. You know, and he's like now he's an even more famous golfer, and he's shooting 76 every week. And I think he's struggling with it.
Yeah.
But hopefully, he sorts himself out.
I mean, you can't go from being that good to being rubbish, can you? So I'm sure. No. I'm sure. By the look of it, he needs to dedicate himself a little bit better than he maybe has been.
Yeah, and I think he recognises that.
Yeah, he's not practising enough. He's not working hard enough. And you know, if you're someone who, yes, he's obviously got a lot of talent, but he's not someone who's naturally as talented as like a Rory. So you've got to work doubly hard to get anywhere near him, haven't you? So
yeah,
he's by the sound of it, he's going to sort that out.
Yeah, but funnily enough, my car had to go in for a repair on the day that it was released, which was super ironic. So I'm not going to make any secrets about the fact that I sat there and watched all 8 episodes one after the other. I think there was bits missing for me out of this series. I don't want to give any spoilers, but we saw a lot of the good and bad news. For example, that Zach Johnson broke to the USA Ryder Cup players that were and weren't picked. So, you know, it's not a secret that Keegan Bradley didn't get a pick, and we saw a lot of that conversation from both sides. We saw conversations that Luke Donald had with Justin Rose, with Tommy Fleetwood, with everybody that got picked, but there was no sign of any conversation with Adrian Maronk, for example. And that felt like that there was a little bit missing there, because I'd like to have seen that.
Maybe he didn't have one.
Maybe he didn't have one. Who knows? Who knows? But
it would be a shame.
Yeah, there was definitely... the Tom Kim episode I thought was brilliant. What he's just like, he's somebody that you just want to like roll him up and cuddle him and put him in your pocket. He's just such a nice little guy. He's really, really likable guy. You know, there was a lot of bits of around him kind of walking around the Masters in the first event, and he didn't know where to go. He didn't know where the players' lounge was. He walked into the Champions locker room and was like, "Oh my god, I don't think I'm supposed to be in here." And it was an enjoyable episode. You sit and watch that one with a smile on your face. I felt like there was a couple in the middle that were a little bit naff, if I'm being honest.
Okay.
But all in all, it was really, really good. It just felt like I needed just a little bit more. Just a little bit more.
I mean, I've only watched the first probably 4, maybe 3. I think the 4th one was the Damon one. And there was one about Ricky Fowler, but the kind of narrative that was being pushed at the start was all about Rory being this figurehead of the PGA Tour and how they shafted him, basically.
Yeah, and even that was very interesting. The Rory stuff was really interesting.
I actually think I just think Rory's such a nice guy.
Yeah,
very articulate and very polished in the way that he never comes out and just really. I think what he wanted to say was that Jay Monahan is an absolute beat. But he didn't. Because he's too classy for that. But I felt sorry for him, because he's literally just been like crucified in front of the wall by the PGA Tour, which is a joke. And I thought Justin Thomas came across horribly in the first couple of episodes. He just came across absolute dickhead. Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. I think he's a likable guy.
Particularly the way he stood up in front of everyone at the PGA Championship Champions dinner and thanked Mita Pereira for choking from winning, I thought was
tasteless.
Yeah,
I get that.
I think everyone else in the room kind of didn't really find it that funny.
Well, I think in that room in particular, you had a mix of, I think that was more a live golf attack.
Yeah, probably, which is so childish, isn't it?
Yeah, it is childish, especially in that room where you've got, you know, a high selection of live golfers. Yeah, there was probably no need for that.
No, Monkey needs to worry more about the fact that he's fallen off the face of the earth rather than Mita Pereira. But yeah.
I would agree.
But yeah, other than that, I thought, like I say, Joel Damon just seems like a really cool dude.
Yeah.
Fowler is just like the nicest guy ever. Rory, I thought, came across great. Wyndham Clark, completely different side to him and a different story about him I didn't know anything about. You see a lot of these American players, and I don't think you really get to see the real person behind it, because they're so not robotic. I suppose Wyndham Clark does come across a bit robotic, I suppose, but he's obviously not, you know, when you see what's going on behind him and the help that he's had mentally, as well as what he's gone through in his life with his mum and all that kind of stuff. And you know, that the more human element to the person that you watch is, you know, that's what Full Swing's about, really. So, you know, you see the same with the, you know, the full contact one with the Six Nations from last year, I thought was brilliant. And obviously Drive to Survive has always been very popular, hasn't it? So, but yeah, that kind of human side of the people that you watch every week that you don't really get to see, other than the ones that are at the real top end that you get a bit more access with. Like I say, I've not watched it all, but the first few episodes, there was a little bit with John Rahm where you could tell just he was fuming with the PGA Tour for what they were doing, which kind of backs up the decision that he made towards the end of the season, I suppose. But yeah, I mean, you know, you can talk more about the players that they feature. Obviously, Tom Kim was the next episode, which I haven't watched yet, and then I don't really know who they feature going forward. But it seems to be similar faces. I know Koepka got featured a little bit. Obviously, he won the PGA, and he got close at the Masters last year as well. You know, there was a lot of talk about him, and then there was his wife was on there as well. DJ was on there a little bit in that first and second episode with. His wife Paulina as well, where they were going to LA, because I think they used to live in LA, or Paulina.
She's from LA, yeah.
But yeah, and that side of it was pretty cool. But yeah, I'm excited to watch the rest of it, really, because like I say, it's just great access to the players that you love to see.
Yeah, the last two all focused towards the Ryder Cup.
Okay.
And seeing a lot of that stuff behind the scenes at the Ryder Cup was pretty good. Unfortunately, again, I felt like what lacked there is you see a lot of the kind of behind the scenes European tour celebration, European team celebrations, but not too much behind the scenes of the USA team after.
Did you see anything with the kickoff between McIlroy and
not much more than what we already saw, but they obviously elaborated on it a little bit. It kind of made me feel like how that episode, because as a fan of Team Europe, the ending of the whole series had like a real good feel factor to it, because it was just a lot of European celebrations. Obviously won the Ryder Cup, blah, blah, blah. I'd like to understand from an American viewer's perspective how that last episode would have come across. Because I'm watching that and I'm thinking, do you know, if we'd have lost that Ryder Cup, this episode would have been pants to watch.
Been nice to see what Keegan Bradley was doing at that time.
Well, he was on the sofa watching.
Was he?
He did cut to him a few times. He handled himself brilliantly, by the way.
He will be gutted that he wasn't in that team, because he definitely should have been.
Yeah. Yeah. It's worth watching. I can't wait.
Yeah, it'll be awesome. So yeah, obviously we will probably keep talking about it in the next few weeks when I actually finally catch up with where you are, Matt. And I'd imagine there's some of you out there that haven't even watched the first series yet, but you need to get on it, because it's really, really good. So away from Full Swing, so we've had lots and lots of product stuff hitting the YouTube channel in the last couple of weeks. I don't know if you've seen much of it, but a lot of it was the stuff that we filmed in Portugal when we were there. Obviously, some of the equipment stuff. We did a 10K versus 10K with Ping versus TaylorMade out there, which has gone down quite well. There's been quite a few views on that video so far since it's hit the channel. If you haven't watched it already, head over to the Golf Shake YouTube channel and you can see it on there. We've obviously got that video coming with. So it was Callaway versus TaylorMade versus Ping, wasn't it? Of the kind of three biggest kind of marquee releases of the year from the top sort of brands out there, which we put through their paces again in Portugal. I've been doing loads of footwear stuff this week. So we've had the new Phantom Cat Nitro shoe that from Puma that I got before I went to Turkey, and I wore that when we were out there. And I've also had the brand new Tour 360 shoe from Adidas and the brand new S2G shoe from them as well, which I filmed some stuff, like I say, on the range, on the golf course in Turkey, and we'll be bringing you the standalone reviews of those very, very soon too. So, yeah, there's lots and lots going on the YouTube channel. Matt, which one particularly have you watched and you enjoyed?
I like the head-to-heads.
Okay.
And funnily enough, there's a guy that I play golf with on Saturday who went for a fitting for a new driver. And he said that he watched the Ping G430 Max
Yep.
Versus the who do we put that head to head?
The TaylorMade.
The TaylorMade. That's it. Yep. And he said that he watched that.
Right. And
whilst it didn't, he said it was very interesting, but he ended up with the Ping G430 Max.
Okay.
In his fitting. And I said to him that my feedback was actually, I was very impressed when we was in Portugal and I hit all the drivers.
Yeah.
And the Ping was quite impressive. I couldn't get it in the air, but I felt like I couldn't miss. And he's someone that hits it low anyway. So he was all over that. But yeah, he said that he watched it. But I watch everything. It's nothing I don't watch.
You've got nothing else to do, have you? No. I'm kidding. But yeah, we've had a lot of our best of videos hit the channel as well. So the best hybrids, best fairway woods, as well as the head to heads between the three drivers that we've just spoken about. So Paradigm, QI10 and the Ping. We've got the best game improve Ryans out there as well, which has done really, really nicely. We've done standalone reviews on hybrids, golf balls. We've had tons of them as well. So we've had the new TaylorMade TP5, TP5X to do reviews of. And what else have we had? Titleist, we've had back on the channel for the first time in ages. So we've done the TSR3 driver fairway hybrid that I'd done as well. So there's loads and loads and loads on there on the channel that have literally dropped in the last month or so. There's probably 20 videos that have gone on there, which is kind of our real sort of busy, crazy season, really, with new product hitting the market and loads to talk about, to be honest. So
John Parrott will be pleased.
Oh, he'll be loving it, old JP.
Yeah.
It's been a busy one. We've had a few weeks now where we've not really filmed anything because we're trying to catch up with editing stuff. So hopefully when Tom's away again in Spain, I think this week. So it'll be next week when we start filming some more stuff. And yeah, I've got loads more products to do reviews off. So yeah, watch this space.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about Turkey then, right? So the last week I have been over in Turkey. We stayed at the Titanic Deluxe Hotel over there, which was very, very nice. It's for those of you that have been to Turkey, it's on the Cullinan Links Golf Club complex. So the Cullinan Hotel was built about 2 years ago. Titanic has been there for about 20 odd years, I think. And the golf course that's there, Cullinan Links, used to be a 27 hole golf course that has now been changed into 36. So it's a little bit shorter than some that you'll play over in Turkey, but still a very, very pleasurable golf course to play, and had a little bit of wind last week as well, so it made it a little bit tougher. The greens aren't the biggest. Some of them are huge, don't get me wrong, but generally they're quite small targets and very, very slopey and very quick. So,
sorry to interrupt. At this point, it sounds like you're about to tell us that you missed every fairway and didn't hit any greens.
No, I played all right. I played quite nicely. So I struggled a bit, like the first couple of rounds. So we played a practice round actually at Kaya Palazzo, which was next door. Never been there before. Amazing place. I thought the golf course was one of the best I've played in Turkey, definitely. And it's one that probably no one's really ventured over and played. The hotel there looked good. The hospitality at the clubhouse was great. I think that's the best thing about Turkey, that you just get looked after so well by everybody that's there. It's just an amazing country for golf. In fact, I think it's probably the best place to go in Europe, I would say, to go and play golf. And it's certainly one that should be on everyone's list, really. Obviously, loads of people go to Spain and Portugal, right? And I get why. But the thing with Turkey, when you go, because everything's all-inclusive, you know exactly what you're going to spend, and you know you're not going to spend another penny when you're there. I think the trip for the guys I took cost them 1800 quid each, but that's obviously with nothing else to pay other than if they wanted a buggy. That was the only cost that you had. But yeah, the hotel looked after us unbelievably well. The tournament itself was ran just impeccably by TGI Golf and TGI Golf Travel, who look after us while we're there. And yeah, the four tournament rounds that we played there were, like I say, very, very well organized. There were 96 teams, I think, went. So nearly 400 people playing in the event, which is sizable. I think it's the biggest event of its kind in Europe. Everyone had a great time trying to corral 400 people a day onto two different golf courses and get them round in anything like a respectable time is very, very difficult. The sponsors also make the event so fantastic. So Adidas and TaylorMade and PowerCaddy are the three main sponsors out there. Adidas provide all the players with four shirts and two cover-ups to wear while you're there, which obviously is a massive expense when you talk about 400 people to kit out. And TaylorMade as well do lots and lots of activities and challenges there. So there's some sort of pitching activities, short game stuff, putting activities, and there was prizes for everything. And at the end, there was over 30 grams worth of prizes that got given away, which is just unbelievable. And the winning team walked away with a custom fit set of irons and driver of their choice from TaylorMade, which was fairly impressive.
Not too shabby.
But yeah, amazing event. It's the fifth time I've been on it now. Every time it's been in Turkey. So this is the first time we've been to Cullen and Lynx and Titanic. We're there again next year, so that's already been booked in for 2025. And yeah, can't wait to go back.
Sounds good. Jealous. Awesome.
Very, very good. I mean, to the point of like the clubhouse at Cullinan was so nice that it kind of looks out to sea. Like the one of the courses gets really close to the coast, and like your normal all inclusive, you're having to eat off a buffet, and it's generally whatever food is there you've got to get, but at Cullinan, you literally come off the golf course and you could, you know, for 5 days in a row, you could have had fillet steak if you wanted to, literally looking out to see. It was absolutely awesome. They really, really looked after you. So yeah, for those of you wanting to book a trip away with your friends, look no further than Turkey. It is absolutely fantastic. And we're looking at potentially doing some coaching breaks out there. So I'm looking the last week of November and then the last week of January 2025 as well to take some groups out there to do some coaching. So it'll be a sort of 7 days coaching each morning, four rounds of golf, and yeah, enjoying the hospitality of Turkey.
Does sound good.
So what does the next week hold in store for you, Matt? How much golf are you playing?
Do you know what? Actually, this week in particular, so I like to list things on my phone. I need to get something in the diary for Friday. But other than that, it's going to be a fairly quiet. I've got a lesson, actually. I'm just...
With Sam, yeah.
So I'm going to go and see Sam Wednesday afternoon. Nothing in particular. Just I like to check in once a month. Not going to lie, I went to the range today and I'm absolutely striping it. You know, literally, absolutely striping it. So, yeah, so we'll just check in. And if the course is through, we might go out and play a few holes and just talk about why I have brain farts on the golf course from time to time. Yeah, but other than that, I'm just going to keep hitting balls as much as I can in the hope that it at some point stops raining, the courses dry out.
Yeah, hopefully.
And you stop leaving pitch marks in the fairway with your driver.
Yep.
That would be nice.
Well, I must say, in Turkey, I played five rounds there and it was only the back nine of my fifth round that I actually felt like I hit the ball anything like what I want to. So, yeah, it just takes a while, doesn't it, to get your game back again. But yeah, now I'm probably not going to play golf for God knows how long. So yeah.
Getting that simulator. Actually, we had an hour in the simulator yesterday when the course was closed, which is not like me. I actually struggle with indoor golf like that on a simulator.
Yeah, I quite like it.
I don't know why, but it's good fun. We tried to play the back nine at Wentworth, but yeah. It's not the same. Not the same for me.
No, it's not. No. Let's hope it clears up and gets a little bit better. But yeah, I mean, this week for me, like I say, just back to it, really, back to reality at work. I've not got any trips coming up anytime soon. I don't know when my first tournament's going to be, but probably May, I'd imagine. So a little bit of time yet to try and find a little something in your game. But yeah, enjoying it, and you know, obviously want to get out on the golf course again because it's what I absolutely love to do. But I've got absolutely no inclination to get out there in the weather that we've been having recently, similar to you, really, mate. But
yeah.
Oh yeah.
So this time next week, when we're recording the podcast, we will know whether I got into the West Lancs Open.
Okay.
And I'd like to publicly go on record, and ask you if you'd like to come and caddy for me in the afternoon that Sunday if I get in.
Me?
Yeah. Why not? It'll be a good fun. Think of the content allowed for the podcast. Huh?
Am I even allowed to do such?
Yeah. Thing? Yeah. Of course you can.
I didn't think pros were allowed to caddy for amateurs, but
Oh, okay. Oh, I didn't know about that.
Yeah, I think I'm not sure. It always used to be a rule anyway, because when I was a kid, my dad could never caddy for me in a comp. So.
Okay. I'll look into it.
but yeah, it might not be a rule anymore.
How far is it from you?
Well, it's like a couple of hours, probably.
Oh, okay. Okay. Maybe it's, not it's then.
Definitely worth travelling to.
Oh, maybe yeah, definitely.
Watch you chop it around, but yeah.
No, I'll be bang on form by then.
Okay.
I can promise. I'm going to be ready.
Yeah, we'll see, mate. Yeah, if I'm free, I'll happily go across. And if I'm allowed.
So. Yeah. All right, we'll look into that. I also want to say thanks to the people that messaged me last week and said, oi, where's the podcast? Because it just goes to show that people do listen every week. People are big fans.
I hope so. I mean, yeah. I quite like doing this, and we never really get the feedback from too many people as to who's listening.
And you know, I posted on the Golf Shake Instagram today about if there's any questions, and I didn't check, but there is no questions.
Well, that must mean everything about golf.
Yeah, interaction is key for us as well. So if there ever is anything that anybody wants to
absolutely
ask us, then
if people want to come on and chat to us as well, it'd be good. So
yeah,
that's what Golf Shake's all about. It's about the kind of the normal golfer out there. You know, you and I that want to go out and play golf, get on the golf course, enjoy it. You know, a couple of beers with our mates afterwards, and just enjoy the game. It's not about professional level stuff. If you've got anything you want to talk to us about at your club or anything like that, then yeah, get in contact. So info@golfshake.com is the best place to get hold of us, or on either of our social media, Instagram particularly I tend to use more than anything, I think Matt does as well, so you can definitely find us on there.
You can.
But yeah, it's another one wrapped up, Matt, so it's another week of talking about what's been going on. We definitely won't be leaving it 2 weeks between now and the next one, so hopefully we'll see you all next Monday, and
enjoy the players.
Yeah, and in that time, keep playing more and playing better, and watch everything on the Golf Shake YouTube channel as well. So enjoy your golf. Speak to you soon. Bye.
Goodbye.